a very good evening to you. Welcome along to another Sweet and Swing here on Manx Radio. My name's Howard Kane. As always, a pleasure to have your company on a Friday night. This evening, some more women in jazz. Little mini-series we started last week. Some Irving Fazola. Our Gracie. Another classic gold standard. But to start, let the bands play.
How whenever you hear a band, you've got to keep the beat of your feet in time. Have you ever noticed that the music is simply grand for making you feel that everything is fine? Let the bands play. Everywhere we go, let the bands play. Something that we know with the military air, just to show them we don't care. Let the bands play. Something with a swing, let the bands play. Everybody sing, are we downhearted? Oh, so let the bands play wherever we go. We want to hear those trumpet notes, Land's End to Toronto Groats. So let them play in the park all day and in Trafalgar Square. Wherever we go, we want to know there's music in the air. Let the bands play. That's what we do here on Sweet and Swing generally. Hopefully I don't warble too much to spoil the enjoyment from the bands playing throughout, from all that wonderful music from the 20s and 30s and 40s, maybe the 50s. Occasionally the 60s, I don't know. We don't often get that far, do we? Jack White and his Collegians. Yes. Another band name. I don't know how many recordings of Jack White's are around. And I think the answer is, without being too much of an expert, not a lot. Very few indeed. A great band leader, another great character. He had two brothers in the band as well. And the band itself hardly changed throughout the years and years they were played. Or they were playing very little in the way of star names, I would say, in the band itself.
no one you didn't see say, oh, yes, yes, or I don't think there are any up-and-coming stars. It's all good, competent players. Jack himself, well, born not far away, just over in Liverpool, in December of 1905. And he wasn't Jack, actually. He was Eugene. Jack was his dad. He'd stay with me. All becomes clear, I think, apparently. And so he started out playing the instrument, and his dad was a builder as well, and did a bit of emceeing at local theatres. Eugene, the Jack of later years, had great musical talent, it seemed, and he started out on the concertina, and he made a few bob doing that, and went on to play the piano, probably in the old music hall style then. But then 1919, the original Dixieland jazz band came across to England, and jazz hopped the continent. Jazz became the new thing. Piano was a bit passé, or so it seemed to Eugene. He wanted to be a drummer. So, having good parents, his mum helped him buy a drum kit. And he also got lessons from the pit drummer at the Liverpool Hippodrome. And again, with a good musical talent, he was soon making money playing gigs on the drums. But then he decided to switch over to the saxophone. He was a talented lad. Piano, concertina, saxophone, drums. Because the instrument, of course, with jazz, was becoming more and more popular. And there were more drummers around Liverpool than there were saxophone players. So he took up the saxophone and started playing saxophone. And taught his dad, who was Jack, to play the drums in his place. And so by 1924, the family band came into existence. And it was called Jack White and his Collegians. Jack White being his dad, of course. Sounded a bit American, I think, just to make it sound trendy. There was the transatlantic overtones, the old collegiate schools. So whilst it was called Jack White, Eugene was fronting it and soon became accepted that he was the leader. And so he sort of adopted the name of Jack White as well. The right man for the job, great musician, good talent, good instrumental skills. But being very canny, he didn't give up his day job. He knew how to look after his pennies, so he started working in a commodity broker's office and then switched to be a motor mechanic. Also, apparently, a very good footballer, and was good enough to think about making it as a professional footballer. However, things weren't quite the same in the Professional Football League back in the early 1900s as they are now. So you were not likely to make the £200,000 a minute that players seem to make these days for kicking a ball around and quite often missing. The story goes, back in the day, he was advised against a career in football by Dixie Dean, the centre-forward and star player for Everton, who played for England at the time. And at the time, Dixie, earning a lot of money, probably, compared to an awful lot of his compatriots, £8 a week. I know, it was the 1900s, it was a long time ago, so it probably was more than a lot of people were making. Nonetheless, Dixie said, look, Jack, you could do better playing music rather than football. Which is what he did in the end. And went on to have a quite a good... He played right up into the 60s. But then, sadly, not unusual for some of these musicians, and you wonder what it is occasionally, whether it's just you have too much of the limelight from time to time. I don't know. Suffice to say, though, right towards the end of his life, Jack continued to broadcast. He used freelance musicians, but then retired from the music business in the 1960s or thereabouts, so a good long career. And in 1966, he moved to Brighton. He opened a successful printing business. But then, it seems, he binned off anything to do with music. It's reported that he discarded all of his musical souvenirs, all his old jackets and programmes and notes and manuscripts and such like, and became something of a recluse and seemingly didn't want to meet anyone who might remind him of his former career. That seems a bit sad, doesn't it? Not unusual, though. It's amazing we hear that quite relatively frequently with some of these wonderful old artists, which makes you ponder what it was, whether they just feel that they eventually just want peace and quiet and away from all the razzmatazz of showbiz and music and such like. He died, by the way, back in 1988, at a good old age of 82. So full life, albeit slightly sort of sad-sounding ending. Jack White and his Collegian, yes, another of those classic names. Don Redman is a Well, he's actually sounding a little bit cheesed off at the moment. If he could do with something a bit more lively, I don't know.
Okay, it looks like we picked out the wrong spot this evening, don't it, huh? You know, this sweet music's all right, but we always been a bunch that go in for plenty of pep and excitement. I know where to go. Let's get our coats and hats and get out this joint, huh? Come on, then. Let's go from here. Where we can have some fun, I mean. Shadows are creeping, the stars go peeping to the rhythm of the band. Boy, downtown's uptown, shaking that African. It's a brand new movement, but boy, what an improvement. You know, the gang goes loco doing that African. Them corner tricks and red hot licks, and they mow you down. And if you want a treat to low down beat, boy, come on uptown. Better than a black bottom, it's really in there. We started up here, too. Oh, shaking an African. Tell you, boy, this is the biggest craze in New York City. And if you don't learn this dance, oh, what a pity, a pity.
Don Redman and his orchestra shaking that African. Oh, how does he say African? Shaking that African, as he puts it. It's almost like a sort of forerunner of something like rap or whatever now, isn't it? You hear the sort of the... I'm not a great fan of the art of rap, which is pretty much in vogue at the moment and has been for some time. But you feel that Don Redman there with that sort of scat-type singing was not a million miles removed from it, and it certainly has its basis in that, surely. He had his own band in the 1930s, playing at the Manhattan Jazz Club at Connie's Inn and signed with Brunswick Records and did a whole load of broadcasts and very great, really sort of right coming into the swing era, or even pre-swing, hot jazz arrangements of great tunes and good soloists and great rhythm as well, and... well arranged, I suppose. But doing that scat type singing, very popular, quite rightly too, as well. And you do have to believe that, again, you imagine if he was around now, how good. He'd fit right in, wouldn't he? He'd fit right in. You can imagine him doing that sort of stuff now. Brilliant. A little bit of piano, perhaps. This is the man I always call Cliff Thorburn, who was, of course, the snooker player. This isn't Cliff, nor, as far as I'm aware, is it his relation. But he is a Thorburn, and he's called Billy.
Thank you.
nice little piano medley from Billy Thorburn, who, most famous perhaps with his organ work as well, worked with many bands, including the Savoy Orpheans, Jay Wilbur and Jack Payne, but yeah, maybe best known for the band that featured the organ, the music, the organ and me, or how was it, the piano and organ and me, with the regular dance band instrumentation as well. And a little medley there. Did you get them? How many did you get out of that one? I'd Know You Anywhere. That's the starter. And then I Do Love You was the middle one. And then the last one was I Want My Mama. I Want My Mama. Yeah, nice little medley that, wasn't it? Billy Thorburn at the piano. It's Howard Kane at the mic this evening, because of course it is Sweet and Swing. Always lovely to have your company here on Manx Radio on a Friday night as we delve back into the time and the sounds and music of long ago and far away. Great sounds of sweet and swing and nostalgia and big bands from the days when music perhaps had a little bit more melody, a bit more about it perhaps than today. Is that fair? I think it is, but, you know, I'm biased one way or another. If you've got any favourites, as always, get in touch. And we're always happy to do any requests or thoughts you might have. HowardKane@manxradio.com is the quickest way. And that's Howard, H-O-W-A-R-D, and Kane, C-A-I-N-E, all lowercase. That gets to me pretty darn smartish. And if we can dig anything out, we will do. If you've got any thoughts, a mini-series, an artist you haven't heard, a favourite artist, whatever, whether it's someone as popular as Glenn Miller or as obscure as, oh, I don't know, as Jack White and his Collegians, maybe, I don't know. You might have a favourite you haven't heard for years. What if we can dig it out and I've got something, we'll do it. Why not? Or a little mini-series or whatever. Or just a story or two. Love to hear any stories from back in the day. And if you don't like doing the old surfing and you're not, haven't got a iPad to hand or whatever the case may be, but you do have a pen and a pad and a letter, then write a letter or write a note or a postcard. Howard Kane, Sweet and Swing, Manx Radio, Broadcasting House, and that's Douglas Head, Douglas in the Isle of Man. And the postcode I, M for Mother, 1, 5, B for Bravo, W for whiskey, if you're a phonetic alphabet sort of person. You can get the kettle on for this one. What is that thing called love? I think Lionel Hampton knows. Thank you. What is this thing called love? Very fast, it would seem. Certainly it is with Lionel Hampton and his Giants. Fantastic playing, lovely vibes playing there. Brilliant, virtuoso on the vibes. Old Lionel in many ways with that great tone he had as well. Lionel on vibes, Harry Edison on the trumpet there. Art Tatum, Frenetic on the piano. Orbit a little lower in the mix, so you don't catch it as much as you might throughout. But if you listen, he's there up and down the keyboard like a mad thing. Wonderful. Red Calendar bass. Buddy Rich. No wonder the drumming was good and fast and frenetic and accurate as ever. Buddy at the drums. Can't get a great deal better than that, can you? Realistically. Lionel Hampton and his Jazz Giants. A bit more of our Gracie, what do you reckon? We've been enjoying Gracie Fields, some of her straight numbers and some of her slightly quirky numbers. I think this one falls into the latter category. As with the title of What Can You Give a Nudist? I think it's going to be one of her novelty songs. None the worse for that.
Oh dear, I am worried. I know I'm laughing really, but I am worried. It's my brother's birthday. I don't know what to buy him. Oh, dear. Can I ask you a question? A question that's silly. It's something I can't figure out. I hope you won't say no. It's all about my brother. My brother, John Willie. He's joined a nudist colony, so what I want to know, what can you buy a nudist on his birthday? Birthday, what sort of birthday present can you buy? I can't think what to give him, no matter how I try. Do you think he would be allowed to wear his old school tie? What can you give a nudist for a present? The things I used to buy him would be wrong. I'd send a cheque, but dash it, how can he go out and cash it? What can you give a nudist when his birthday comes along? What can you give a nudist for his birthday? What sort of birthday present can you buy? I bought a pair of braces, just like a silly pup. But what's the good of braces if there's not one sold enough? What can you give a nudist for a present? I'm sure a bowler hat would be all wrong. And he's not the kind of fella who would need an umbrella. What can you give a nudist when his birthday comes along? Oh, deity. I've been in holy terror that I make an error. I did think of a camera, but snapshots are taboo. A bicycle sounds stupid when you're dressed up like Cupid. I must send something suitable, that's why I'm asking you. What can you give a nudist on his birthday? What sort of birthday present can you buy? And here's another riddle, but give it up I won't. When at a dance, do they wear fancy dress or do they don't? What can you give a nudist for a present? I somehow think that cufflinks would be wrong. And a watch chain would look silly draped across the front of Willie. What can you give? What can you give a nudist on his birthday? What sort of birthday present can you buy? I have heard that they play hockey, so something I had got. But I don't know for certain if they wear shin guards or not. What can you give a nudist for a present? A shop girl told me spats would be all wrong. She said, good gracious madam, just imagine spats on Adam. What can you give a nudist when his birthday comes along? What can I buy? No, let's be serious. No, honest, what can I buy?
A lump of soap.
A lump of soap? Oh, that's a good idea. A lump of soap, and he's all a smoky too. That's good. Thank you very much.
A lump of soap. Yes. Or a bottle of shower gel. I suppose it's around in those days. What can you buy a nudist for his birthday? Ah, Gracie. Gracie Fields. It is a good one, that, I must admit. It does rather remind me of listening. I don't know whether you do the same sort of thing. When you're wandering through town or walking about the island somewhere, earwigging. Do you know what I mean? You're sort of walking past and you listen to other people's conversations as you're going past. I mean, you can't help it, really, can you? Unless you stick your fingers actually in your ears, then you're going to hear things. And you do hear the most oddest little snippets of conversation sometimes, totally out of context and such like. And I always remember hearing these two old gentlemen one time talking, and They were talking about birthdays as well. Not nudist birthdays in this case, but one old gentleman said to the other, "Oh, I don't know. What do you get the man who's got everything?" And the other chap thought for a minute and said, "Hankies." Which may or may not apply to what you get a nudist. A hanky would still be useful, I dare say, particularly if you have a cold. Where you'd keep it? No, I don't think we'll dwell on that one.
Thank you.
Nice little twofer there for you. That quirky little number, I really enjoyed that one a lot, I must admit, was Beryl Booker and her trio. The Beryl Booker Trio. Oops, my lady. Oops, my lady. Yeah. Great one. Again, little heard. Anyone heard of Beryl Booker? You probably would struggle, I must admit. Could she play? She could definitely play, couldn't she? Very nice sound indeed on the piano. And played, well, mostly in the sort of, she was born in 1922 and died back in the late 1970s. One of, again, a great unheralded pianist in many ways. Lovely touch of the keyboard. A little bit Errol Garner-esque. Worked for several years with Slam Stewart's trio. And also, quite well, famously, with a top-notch star in the vocalist front, Dinah Washington. She was Dinah Washington's accompanist in 1952 for a tour, and again then in 1959. Also had a trio with Elaine Layton on drums, Bonnie Wetzel on bass, and they toured widely in Europe at the time as an acclaimed opening act in none or less personage than Billie Holiday's show. But then, sadly, after that, the group broke up, as these groups are wont to do from time to time, and Beryl did what all musicians do. She just did whatever she could, took whatever the work came along, but did get a reunion with Slam Stewart a little bit later on. But that's a great track. Oops, My Lady, a Mary Osborne original. Like that a lot. Very quirky. And before that, we had Irving Presnopnik, as was his real name, Irving Presnopnik. Not the easiest name to trick off the tongue, which is why he's actually known normally as Faz, or Irving Fazola. A great New Orleans clarinetist, playing there with Jess Stacy, yeah, the pianist from Benny Goodman's orchestra, Jess Stacy's own band, with Faz, Irving Fazola, on clarinet. And as I say, he was really Irving Presnopnik. But, yeah, not the easiest name necessarily if you're a musician, if you're wanting people to remember your name. The actual name change came about as a bit of a joke. He didn't actually change it himself, but like a lot of these things, it just sort of came about as a jokey thing, which stuck, and then, as it was much easier to remember Irving Fazola or Faz, people remembered him that way far better than by his real name. He was a great improviser, apparently, a very good reader of music. And once when he played with the Roma Band in New Orleans, which is a large band, playing only written arrangements, they didn't do any improvising, it's just playing the notes, Louis Prima ribbed him by dubbing him Fa So La, from the tonic sol fa. Fa So La, the appellation stuck, and henceforth Irving became Faz, or Fazola. He called Louis Prima Feet. Not quite too sure why. Feet Prima, but that didn't stick. Louis Prima stayed as Louis Prima, but Irving Fazola, or Irving Presnopnik, became Irving Fazola, or, more likely for many fans, just Faz. Probably didn't do him any harm at all, from the point of view of people remembering who the hell he was, I dare say. It's amazing how those little nicknames stick, don't you? I've got a few nicknames. You think you get some nicknames at school, don't you, which last for a term or a year or a year or two at school and then fade into obscurity. And then I have friends who still go by the nickname, and I have one of my best friends, and we still call each other by a nickname that we started using when we were probably 13. And he'll be 60 this year as well. And we still use it. Life's a funny old thing at times, isn't it? We'll be right back.
milk, why coffee? Though I dine with sweethearts too, I'd much prefer just tea for two. When I'm dining with my sugar, I pretend that I like white hot coffee.
Something I could do with at the moment, a hot coffee. Billy Scott Coomer with Jack Payne. Billy Scott Coomer on the vocals, Jack Payne and the orchestra. Billy Scott Coomer himself was the one who was born out in Rawalpindi and had a hair lip, got that cured earlier on. And the story I always really like about Billy Scott Coomer was his confidence in that he was the one who was invited to come and play with Jack Payne in 1928, and Jack Payne offered him £5 a week to join the new BBC dance band. But Billy said this offer was derisory. Sounds a bit like the sort of union things today, doesn't it? But it was quite a brave thing to do, because £5 a week would have been pretty darn good money back in the day. But he turned it down, and he was right, because he ended up getting £15 a week. What wouldn't the unions do for that these days, one asks oneself. Yeah, top work, Joe, I must admit. If you know your ability and you know you've got that confidence and you know your market, you can get your price, is what they normally say, don't they? We haven't had a gold standard yet, have we? And, well, you can't get much more gold than this. A bit of Frank Sinatra and something I think we could do with a little bit more of. I know it's that time of year, so, you know, you've got to live with it to a degree, haven't you? But a few more blue skies wouldn't go amiss, would they?
Go ahead.
some blue skies shining above. Well, there were earlier on today, to be fair, some blue skies shining above. I don't think there's going to be too many blue skies shining above tomorrow, probably, or indeed over the weekend. But you never know, you never know. And we are in January, I know. Just gets you down a bit after a while, doesn't it? You just think, oh, it's icy, oh, and then it's frozen, oh, it's frosty, oh, and then it's not, it's milder again now. So that means it's, oh, it's really wet, and all the roads are flooded, and it's incredibly windy, and there's trees coming down, all of which I've seen over the last few weeks being out and about. I've turned back because the road's been flooded out. I had to stop last night coming home because a tree was down on the road. And lots of debris everywhere. And it was very icy, of course. We had that cold snap a little earlier on as well. And I think we're getting a bit more cold weather again next week. But yes, it's January on the Isle of Man. What do you expect? Here we go then. So a blue sky is always nice. And I tell you what, this is quite nice as well. With that little moonlight serenade by, yes, Glenn, of course. I'm going to fade off into the moonlight myself. Same time next week. Cheerio.